In contemporary society, the LGBTQ issue is prominent, yet God's plans are different. How can we help families navigate this important issue?
We'll be discussing this topic with Michael Carducci, co-founder of Coming Out Ministries, today on Real Family Talk. Join us.
Welcome to Real Family Talk. During this episode, we are talking about the LGBTQ issue, its impact on our children, and God's ultimate plan of love.
Michael Carducci, co-founder of Coming Out Ministries, joins us today to share his own testimony and discuss how we can help our children embrace their identity in Christ. Michael, thank you for being here with us today.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. I'm actually a co-founder with Coming Out Ministries, and we have been around now for 12 years, going around internationally talking about the issue of not just LGBT, but also sexual brokenness. My history, and as I joined four other members to create Coming Out Ministries, my history was at 4 years old, I thought that I was a girl trapped in a boy's body. I never knew anything else. And so I thought that I was born that way. And eventually, by the time I was 13 years old, going into puberty, my attractions became towards the same sex. So while I don't believe that I was born gay and I never had those attractions before, but I was struggling with transgender ideation from my first conscious thought until I was 20 years old. And it's interesting because after I was 20 years old, then I no longer had these struggles with the desire to be a female, because after I went into the gay culture, I realized that masculinity was more valuable than femininity. And the issue that I was really looking forward for was a bonding with males, you know, to be loved, to be accepted, and to be included. And of course, that became sexualized at puberty. But I believe that the initial issue was really that I hadn't bonded with my father. And the clinical term is called defensive detachment.
Wow. You've just said a mouthful, Michael. But it was very clear and succinct. But I want to back up a little bit, because you said when you were 4 years old, and I think that's really important because we get a lot of questions from parents, you know, and it's usually when the child is about 15, 16, 18, where they tell their parents at that point, I've been feeling this way since I was about 3 or 4 years old. So what, tell us, how did you know when you were 4 years old? Like, what were you thinking? What was making you feel that way?
Right. So I didn't ever tell my parents, but I think that any 15 or 16 year old that is struggling with identity issues, and of course, there are many different factors that kind of play into it. So everybody's story is a little bit different. But when it comes to my story, I knew that at 4 years old that I was different. I knew that I wasn't like my sisters, but I also knew that I wasn't like the boys in the neighborhood. I didn't like doing anything that boys like to do. And I definitely knew that I wasn't like the girls. But I had this feeling of inadequacy as a male. I also didn't like doing the things that boys like to do. And I didn't ever make the connection of this rejection of my father's masculine identity until I was actually in my 40s. But during that time, I never would have shared that I had these attractions to wanting to be a girl, because I got punished if I ever got caught dressing up in my mother or my sister's clothing, if I was playing with dolls. So I had to go covert with those attractions and those behaviors. But I remember it was very strong at puberty. I would say I was about 12 or 13 years old. And the desire to be a female was so strong because of the amount of emasculation and bullying that I was receiving in high school. I was a little guy. I hit puberty late. I started school in first grade when I was 5 years old. So I had all of these strikes really against me because I didn't measure up. I wasn't athletic like the other boys. I wasn't competitive. And again, because my mannerisms were more towards my mother than my father, because of that defensive detachment, I had foreign mannerisms that were very feminine. So when the boys saw my effeminate qualities, they would call me sissy, queer little girl. And what that did is that pushed masculine identity even further away, made it less available to me, and only increased my feelings of inadequacy as a male. And so if I didn't measure up as a man, maybe I would be accepted if I was a girl.
Yeah. So what sparked a change in you? What made you realize, wait, this isn't what God intended for me to do? When did that happen?
Right. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Because I think it is important. What was happening for me is until I was 20 years old, I was trying to fit in the mold. I always wanted to be a husband. I wanted to be a father. I was struggling with not only same-sex attraction, but also feeling like I was trapped in the wrong sex. But when I walked away from God, and this is interesting because I thought that as somebody that had same-sex attraction and also gender dysphoria, I thought that to the Christian, the perfect answer was that if I have a sex change, then my attractions will be okay with God. I thought it was a perfect formula or the perfect solution to the problem. But what happened is when I couldn't get my sexuality and my identity to come together, eventually I just walked out of Christian culture and I went into the gay culture. But what I found in the gay culture was that masculinity was a huge commodity. You were like a millionaire if you were a masculine man. And so what I realized is that if I would act more masculine, if I'd work out in the gym, then I found that I got all the attention from men. And not until in my 40s, after I left all of that, did I hear through science and also through some sound counsel that the issue wasn't that I was transgender. The problem was that even before I was conscious, I had detached from my father and started to pattern after my mother. So that then by the time I became conscious about the age of 4, I already was completely in the identity that I was a girl and not a boy. So that was like a huge reality check for me. But I can look back, I can see that I definitely defensively detached from my father. There were certain things that would happen. I remember when my dad would take me out to shoot guns or to watch German shepherds attack train. It was just more aggressive behavior. And that only pushed me further from the thought that I would ever measure up as a man, nor did I ever want to be a man if those aggressive behaviors were something that I was forced to do. So I liked doing the things that girls like to do. And so that became more affirmed as I developed and grew older. Somebody said this once, and it made perfect sense to me now. It said that relationships form our identity. And as much as I really fought against that idea, when I think about it, it was actually the rejection of my father's masculinity that I believe really did help to shape some of my identity with the transgender ideation as well as the same-sex attraction.
But I wanted to follow up, and that is, what made you think, this is not it, this is not for me, God has different plans for my life? That's the point I wanted you to bring out some more.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay. So that is interesting because my sister was listening to the Holy Spirit, and I praise God. I had three sisters that were praying for me, and I wasn't praying for myself. I wanted nothing to do with a God that I thought rejected me. But as my sisters were praying, the Holy Spirit inspired my sister to invite me to an evangelistic series. And you know, I call myself the poster child for the gay life. I was a hairdresser and an aerobics instructor. And so I was living my life to the full. I had a millionaire boyfriend with a convertible Mercedes. We had the world by the tail. But I went to those evangelistic series, and I have no idea how to explain it other than the Holy Spirit. But the night before I was baptized, I stood up and I gave my heart to the Lord because He was compelling. And you know, the things that the preacher was sharing that night really just cut through all of the superficiality of my life, what I'd created, what I'd become addicted to, everything. And I accepted a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what I said to God. As the Holy Spirit was really illuminating my mind, and I could see my sexual addiction and my relationship with my boyfriend and the 20 years of living in the gay culture, I said to God, I said, I can't go up there to give, you know, to make this, you know, proclamation that I wanted to be baptized. I said, but I give you my heart. And the next thought, or then my next conscious thought was that I was standing up in front next to my sister, and I was beginning this very difficult journey with Jesus Christ. And that's where it started at 40 years old. Wow. And that was 22 years ago, last Friday.
Praise God.
When we return, we'll talk more with Michael Carducci about Coming Out Ministries and how it is connecting with people in the LGBTQ community with Jesus. Stay with us.
Today on Real Family Talk, we are talking with Michael Carducci of Coming Out Ministries about LGBTQ issues and its impact on our children, as well as talking about his ministry and the difference it's made so far.
So, Michael, how would you encourage someone who is struggling with same-sex attraction? What would you say to that individual today?
Well, I would begin with that individual that the issue isn't necessarily the same-sex attraction. The issue is really about getting to know who your Savior is. And being straight doesn't guarantee you, you know, a ticket to heaven, but it's people who accept, you know, Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that, I think, was a difference for me. It's as Jesus became more real, as Jesus really started to answer the very difficult questions, and I could relate to him as a Savior and also a friend, then things started to change in my life. So I think that a lot of times we put too much focus on the same-sex attraction when really the issue isn't about being heterosexual. The issue is about being redeemed and restored through the power of Jesus Christ. And you know, the Bible says, the Bible says that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so I think that that is kind of what I would call the formula for anyone that is struggling with anything, is just keeping your focus on Jesus Christ. And that's where things really come together.
I like what you just said, because that makes a whole lot of sense. And it's real. In fact, I often say to people that we make such a big deal about whether you are straight or you're gay, whether you have a homosexual
orientation
or a heterosexual orientation. Mm-hmm. And my response to that is, you know what, it really doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter what your orientation is. If your sexuality is not under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you are in trouble. So what you just spoke about, what you just said is Christ needs to be your Lord. You know, if he's being lifted up, he'll draw all people to him. That's the heterosexual, that's the homosexual, that's everyone. And because we are all broken and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So coming to grips with that reality is what's most important, I believe. And you hit that nail on the head.
Right. So, Michael, tell us about Coming Out Ministries, because you mm-hmm. felt that it was important, you and the other people who collaborated with you, to start a ministry. Why? Why a ministry?
Yeah, why? But, you know, it was interesting because I thought that I was the only person that could possibly, you know, be an Adventist and leave the Adventist church, go into the gay culture for 20 years and then come out. I thought, you know, surely there's nobody else like me in the world. But I found that there were four other individuals, and each of them had ministries as well. And I was beginning to start telling my testimony, and the five of us got together and we thought, wow, if one story is good, then imagine what five testimonies together. You know, Revelation 12:11 says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimonies. So that's kind of how Coming Out Ministries started. And the purpose of Coming Out Ministries now has really, I think, expanded. You know, we talk now about how Revelation 18:4 says, you know, to come out of her, my people. So we're all coming out of something. When I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, it's got a list of all of these things that God says those will not be in heaven. And, you know, I had to look at the reality that my name was in a few of those. But I think that instead of making one group of people out of 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 exclusive, which I think the Christian church had done for a long time, that, you know, gays were going to burn in a hotter hell than everybody else. And that was a message that I heard when I left the church at 20 years old. And now, again, what's happening is they've made this group of people exclusive again. And they said, yes, but because gays can't change, God loves them and that, you know, it's okay. But I think that we need to put everything right back in the pot and make sure that we recognize that, like you said, you know, Dr. Oliver, that we're all broken. We all have issues to work on. And I think that instead of this condescending attitude in Christianity where, you know, you poor sinner, you know, maybe God will help you, is that God needs to help all of us. And if we come at it with this attitude like, hey, listen, I'm looking for the wholeness that you're looking for. And Jesus says he has the answer for all of us, you know, and I think that that would be much more appealing to a group of people that have been marginalized, you know, in our church culture.
Yeah.
I think the issue is not making somebody exclusive or a group exclusive, but that make it all inclusive again. And so if, you know, Revelation 18:4 is correct, come out of her, my people, then, you know, maybe we should all wear the T-shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. I like what you said about, you know, the whole group of people, because it's liars, cheaters, you know.
Adulterers.
Gossipers.
Right.
Fornicators, licensed.
Right. And so we really need to pay close attention to that. So I really appreciate that. But with that said, we do know, and you know this as well, that our many of our young adults, our teenagers, even children now, and their families are really struggling specifically with the LGBTQ issue. And there's a lot of pressure from society to say that this is okay.
This is my truth.
This is my truth. It's acceptable. So how is your ministry specifically reaching these people? And again, I don't want to say it like that, but people who are desperately families who are desperately needing help specifically with this issue, because many of their children now are of the impression that it's not a problem. And so how would we help them and their families?
Yeah, it's a huge issue. Not only in our world, but definitely in our church today. There's a university that did a study, and they found that last year that they had 3.5% of their school identifying as LGBT. And then this year now, it's already risen double that. It's now 7% of their student body are identifying as LGBTQ. Coming Up Ministries, we believe now that our job is to inspire, to equip, and to enlighten the church. And a lot of times our ministry doesn't necessarily just focus on the individual that's struggling with same-sex attraction or LGBTQ issues. Instead, what we're doing is we're trying to help educate the church so that we go against, you know, what the history of the church has been with not being loving and not being kind, and to be including all kinds of people into the church culture, and not only through stories, but also through inspirational testimonies and Bible knowledge, do we start to really help to inspire the church. Because if we were to bring in this group of people into our church, the church isn't ready to receive them. And whether we think that, you know, gays can't change and God hates them, or gays can't change and God loves them, the problem is the message that gays can't change. And when you look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, such were some of you.
That's correct.
And that was the hope that I needed when I was that young person, you know, that walked out of church culture because nobody had the answer for me. But that answer isn't just for me. It's also for the people that are addicted to porn. It's also for the young girls that have had abortions. It's also for the people that are struggling with porn addictions and those kind of things. So, I think it's a much bigger issue. And I think the beauty of it is, as we start opening up and talking about these issues in our church and in our schools and with young people, and unfortunately, even younger, you know, 7-8-year-old kids are now being addicted to pornography. 3% of boys and 17% of girls have never seen pornography. That means we have a lot of work to do in educating and equipping not only the parents, but also the teachers, the Sabbath school, and to begin programs that help these children to have a foundation about identity and sexuality.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have to take a short break, Michael, but stay with us. We will be right back.
We're back on Real Family Talk with Michael Carducci of Coming Out Ministries. You know, Michael, many of our children and youth end up questioning their sexuality and orientation. What advice would you give to parents whose child is questioning?
It's an excellent question. And I think that more and more we have children, and I was one of those children that if the hormones were available and if surgery was available for me at 14 or 15, I would have been standing first in line, honestly. But now in the world that we're living, where the media is promoting and pushing this agenda, and books for preschoolers, you know, talking about how you can be anything that you want, those are issues that I think a lot more parents, even in the church, are dealing with. I had a friend call me from Europe, and he was telling me the story about his four-year-old son. And he said, Mike, my four-year-old son told his mother yesterday that he was a girl like her. And the mother tried to redirect him, and she said, no, you're a boy. And he said, nope. He insisted, he said, I'm a girl. And so the parents were freaking out. My friend called me on the phone, and he said, is my son gay or transgender? And I said, no, I said, your son is basically identifying with his mom. That's all. And then I started to ask him a few questions, and this was really interesting to me. I asked him, I said, so, you know, how much are you home? How much time are you spending with your son? And he said, well, I work really late. A lot of times I come home and he's already in bed. And I said, well, when you're off on the weekends, how much time are you spending with your son? And because he's involved in ministry, he said, well, I'm working a lot. I don't really have a lot of time. But then he said exactly what I knew was the issue. And he said, I'll be honest with you, Mike. He said, my son's personality kind of gets on my nerves a little bit. And I said, bingo. And I said, whether you've ever said it to him or not, and I'm sure you haven't, I said, your son subconsciously is picking up on the fact that you've rejected him. Therefore, he's now defensively detaching from you. And I said, basically, the reason why he told your wife that he's a girl is because he's identifying with the parent that is there for him. She loves him. She spends time with him. She's the one that, you know, has been there, that he is dependent on. And I said, so it's not that your son is gay and not that he's transgender. He's just identifying with the parent that's invested in him. And I started to tell him a couple of things, you know, like my dad took me to shoot guns or to train German shepherds. And all of that was too aggressive. My mother at 10 years old gave me my father's pornography magazines, and they just went way overboard to basically help me with masculine identity. And I said, here's the difference. I said, you have to be home at 5 o'clock. You have to be there for your son. You have to help him with his bath care. You have to help him at dinner time, and you have to be consistent. He has to know that you're invested in him. And I said, and it's not about doing aggressive boy things with your son. I said, just color in his coloring book, you know, on the floor with him. Draw him into masculinity. And I love Steps to Christ because it says that Jesus doesn't drive, he draws. And so with that suggestion, you know, doing things that he likes to do that, you know, don't affirm him in, you know, feminine behaviors, whatever that is. But there's a broad spectrum of how to be a boy. There's a broad spectrum on how to be a girl, and to just enjoy your son and to draw him into masculine identity by being there for him, loving him, and spending time with him. And I said, don't expect any quick changes. And I remember that probably in my late teens, that when my father would initiate and try to spend time with me, in my mind, it was too little, too late. Like, forget it. I was done with that. And I think that that was really the trajectory that led me into the gay culture. But the need was still there. The emptiness, the lack of masculine bonding and love was still empty there. And so that was the driving force. So we prayed with this father, and we got off the phone, and I said, don't expect any fast changes. But just 6 months later, this father called me on the phone, and he said, Mike, he said, I've been doing what you said. I've been spending time with my son. And he said, just last night, we were getting ready to go to bed, and my son came up to me and he says, come on, Dad, let's hide from mom because we're boys. So how beautiful that the issue isn't that your son is gay or transgender when he says that he's a girl. He's just identifying by a parent that happened to be there for them. And that our children are so malleable and they're still so moldable. And every child needs a father and a mother that is loving and kind and available for them. So I thought that that was a beautiful example of what parents can be doing for their children. Oh, one more thing, if I may. Is it does so much damage to a child when you tell them that they were supposed to be the opposite sex. Like when a father says, you know, we only had a boy's name, you know, for you. We didn't want a girl, you know, and then name the girl a boy's name. What you've said to that girl, you know, without actually saying it, is that you have no value as a girl. Your only value is as a boy. And the same thing, like when a father says to the wife in front of the kid and says, well, you finally got the daughter you've always wanted in your son. Those are powerful words that you can't take back, and they plant seeds of inadequacy and feelings that they don't measure up to your standard. And so parents, be very careful to affirm your children and to celebrate the sex that they are. And I think that there's great power in that.
Absolutely. That was so beautiful, Michael. We've run out of time. We so appreciate you being with us today. We're definitely going to have you back to share some more about what you're doing with in churches and schools, with parents and with children, and teaching them the true rainbow of God's creation. So we'll have to have you back. Thank you.
No matter what sins we may be struggling with, the call to each one of us is the same, a full surrender of ourselves to Jesus Christ. After all, in Matthew 16:24, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." We encourage you to surrender to God and experience the true joy and fullness He longs to fill you with.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.